falling deeper. Cold and nice 난 너무 싫어. 기다리기에는 너무 길어.
Hello, chingus. So for today's song, I am playing Crush's Let Me featuring Devin Morrison.
I can hear the tears to the phone. I keep you company, you gotta be alone. I can tell you day was too long. I know you're hurting, I knew it all along. Heartbroken and you're so sick. Loving like it ain't broken. But shawty, you already know this. I'm gonna treat you right. So baby, let me cook you dinner. Let me wash your clothes. Let me hook you up as soon as I get home.
All right. So again, that is Let Me by Crush featuring Devin Morrison. Crush is definitely one of my favorite musicians, Korean musicians. He plays more R&B stuff. He is one that I run to over and over again. He is my number one most played artist for this year on my Apple Music. So, yeah, he's great. And I would definitely give him a try if you haven't. Great musician and a great lyricist, too. So, I know it's been a while, Chingus. I know it's been a while since I last made a podcast, but I've been busy, and that's not an excuse. I know it's not. Work got a little bit busy during the holidays. Now that that busy time is over, I'm gonna have a little bit more time. Three dramas that I'm going to be talking about today is Brewing Love, A Virtuous Business, and a new one that came out not too long ago called When the Phone Rings. I'm not going to go into too much detail about When the Phone Rings because I am planning to write a much more detailed review on my website, dramaaddictscorner.com. So if you're interested in my full thoughts on the drama, please go visit me there. It is going to be a written down version, not an audio version. Yes, so if you're ever interested, please go visit me there. And I have a lot of other reviews written down for a bunch of other dramas. So if you're in a rut and you don't really know what to watch and you're curious, you can go and visit me down there and see if one of my reviews can persuade you or not. I do try to keep away from the spoilers as much as possible, so yeah, give me a try. The first one we're going to talk about is one that's already been ended for a while, and it's called A Virtuous Business. I loved A Virtuous Business. It was something I was not expecting. It was a recommendation from one of my coworkers. She had been watching it for a while, and I had seen it on Netflix, and I was interested in watching it, but I hadn't actually put much thought into actually starting it. But she said, please start it. So I was like, okay. And I am not sorry I did. This was a unique drama. I was not expecting this kind of drama. Of course, I did realize if you looked at the bottom of the screen during the credits at the beginning, it said it was an adaptation of a BBC show, which now I can understand a little bit, because usually Koreans don't lean toward, even though it wasn't racy, it still had racy things. Now I know that in the recent, like maybe 5 years or so, they've been a little bit more open to having more racy stuff, like Nevertheless, Minho's last drama, not this very last one, but the one before that was pretty racy, and I wasn't complaining. So they've been much more open to racy things, but I still wouldn't have expected this kind of drama. If you're wondering what it's about, it's basically about four friends, and it does focus mainly on these four friends and their lives, and how they tried desperately to build a business selling lingerie, self-play toys, and also lube. So they are a sex-selling business. That is something that's still kind of taboo in Korea today, so much so that you don't really even see any lingerie stores in Korea. I think I saw maybe two. There's one in Hongdae, and I think there was another one. I just can't remember exactly where. They just don't sell lingerie in Korea. There was one store called the Red Container Store that I can remember clearly, but that again, that was in Seoul. That wasn't where I lived. So it's still a very taboo subject. That being said, they made an entire drama about it. And these four friends are trying to build up their business and trying to become as successful as possible. Each have their own story and each have their own problems that they need this business to work. Most of them need it for monetary reasons because they're not as blessed as others monetarily in their lives. Two out of the three of them are single mothers. One of them is a, or two of them are happily married women, older women. And it's just about a story about a ragtag group trying to overcome their problems together, which I, again, it's not something you see very often. Usually these dramas focus heavily on the romance aspect, and this one really didn't. It really was focusing on the friendship, and I applaud that because I don't see that very often. So what I've written down on my sticky notes is the comedy is golden. Ajishi is awesome as per usual. And if you're wondering what Ajishi I'm talking about Kim Won-ae. I think the first time I ever saw him was Strong Woman Dobongsoon. He blew my mind away. And I know when this man is going to be in a drama, it's going to be a good drama because he's a great actor. Another Ajishi that I really liked in this drama that I've seen a few times is Im Chul-soo. Im Chul-soo, if you've seen Alchemy of Souls, Im Chul-soo is the monk-like guy. He's that guy. He's the monk-like guy because he believes in abstinence and he takes tea for chastity. But I've seen him in Alchemy of Souls and I've seen him in a couple of other dramas too. He's very, very good. In fact, he's in another drama that I'm watching currently, or I was watching. He's one that stays pretty consistent as well. So if you ever come across a drama that has either Kim Won-ae or Im Chul-soo, you know it's going to be a good drama because they're pretty good actors and they're great at comedy. They're amazing at comedy. So that being said, both Ajushis are great in this drama and the comedy is just top notch. It's not forced upon you, although I will say there's a couple of scenes here and there where the comedy does feel a little bit forced. As far as I'm concerned, for the most part, the comedy was pretty spot on. It was pretty good. And I laughed quite a bit. This was a drama I was excited to see as soon as the weekend came up because it was a weekend drama. You know, this was a drama that I definitely thought about even after the episode ended, and I thought about it for the rest of the week. It didn't, you know, just kind of go into the background and get forgotten about, which has happened quite a bit recently. But this year's dramas have been pretty good. I've been very impressed with this year's dramas so far, and this was one of the greats. All four main actresses are great. Exceptional, I say, even. The four main actresses, if you don't know who they are, is Kim Soo-yeon, Kim Sung-yeon, and Kim Sun-young. And then the last one is Isae-yi. They play Han Song-suk, Oh Kum-hee, So Young-bok, and Yi Ju-ri. They're the four main actresses that are in this drama. They're the four main friends that I talk about. Han Jong-suk is, of course, the main attraction. She's going to be in at least 98% of the series. The other three are regulars, with Yi Ju-ri being on the bottom rung of that. But I've actually not seen many things with Yi Ju-ri, her real name, her real name being Isae-yi. That could possibly be why she got the less airtime than the other three. But the main focus is definitely Kim Soo-young, who plays Han Jong-suk. Her love interest being Kim Do-hyun. Kim Do-hyun, I've seen him a few times in a couple of dramas. The main drama, I think I've seen him in My Shy Boss or something like that. I've not seen him in too many things. I was kind of impressed with him in this one. Of course, the English portion, I can't knock him too hard for because he is a Korean actor who does not know English, but I just find it so amusing when they have a main character say they've lived in America for years and their English is not that great. I mean, at least hire a dialect coach or something. If you're gonna say he grew up in the States, at least try and get the pronunciation down. Or when they're English actors are Europeans and they've got this thick accent and their English ain't that great. Like, if you need somebody to come in and speak English as an American, I'd be very happy. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Because I can help you out. I'm not a terrible actress. At least I don't think I'm a terrible actress. I could definitely do better than the English actors that they've had. So, yeah, like I said, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I could even speak a little Korean if you want me to. Just saying. The character arcs and plotting are exceptional. I really liked the way they arced everything. Of course, if this is an adaptation of another series, they probably had a pretty good blueprint to start out with. But the main storylines, especially toward the end, I absolutely adored. The story arc toward the end with So Young-bok's husband. Park Jong-sun is a former thug. He had been in prison previously and he promised to be a better man once he got out for his wife and four daughters, and soon to be on the way five children. Not sure if that was a boy or a girl, but he promised to be a much better man, but of course he's struggling to find a job because nobody wants to hire a former convict, which, again, I can't blame them for, but when somebody is trying to do good and better themselves, at least give them a chance. He can't really provide for his family, and she's the main provider with her business, and he feels bad about that. I love that they didn't make him a rake on top of being a criminal. She loves and adores him too, and I absolutely like that because that's, again, something I don't really see for older married couples in K-dramas. Usually you see a lot of problems with them, especially when it's a dramedy like this one where the drama leans heavily on infidelity, and there was no infidelity in this one for either married couple. Of course, the main actress or the main character, Han Jong-suk, does have an infidelity issue with her ex-husband, but that's okay because she totally upgrades with her main love interest. Oh Geum-hui and So Young-bok are fast friends. Oh Geum-hui is someone who is a little bit more repressed in her lifestyle because she tries to play the good traditional Korean wife. Her husband is a successful breadwinner with his pharmacy, and she's kind of just bored with her life and she doesn't really know what else to do. And then she meets Han Jong-suk, who at the time is her maid, and she says, "I have an opportunity for you." And she kind of becomes fast friends with her. But when she meets So Young-bok, they become quick friends. They're around the same age, and they're both married, happily married to their husbands. Well, somewhat happily married to their husbands. At the end of the series, when So Young-bok's husband, Park So-jun, he falls off the good wagon and does something terrible because he's under the influence of somebody who called him weak and basically teased him for not being able to provide for his family, and they have the added aggravation of she's pregnant again and, you know, things like that. And so he falls under the spell of this guy and they pull a heist. He's the driver for the getaway car, and in his panic he does accidentally hit Oh Geum-hui's husband, who's on his way to meet her for their anniversary dinner. He ends up in the hospital and almost dies. And honestly, if it wasn't for him, though, if it wasn't for Park Jong-sun, he honestly probably would have died. But he panics, goes to the nearest phone booth and calls it in, and he gets help right away and is taken to the hospital. And he lives. That entire storyline between those two girls, I can see why Oh Geum-hui would be angry at So Young-bok, because she does try and hide it. You know, it's a tricky situation, and I'm super glad that they didn't play out the angst between them for longer than it needed to be. They resolve it within one episode, and I'm so glad for that, because if they had dragged that out any longer, it probably would have been bad for the storyline in general. One thing I really, really didn't like, though, is the Han Jong-suk and the Kim Do-hyun love story. And that being because I loved the love story in its initial, not in entirety. At the beginning, it was great. In the middle, it was good. It's a slow burn. You can see she's very hesitant on liking him because she had been burned by her husband and he had been the only person she'd ever been with. She was scared to start another love. And the fact that she's also a mother is also another thing. And I know in Korean society, being a single mother is a very big stigma, and being divorced is another big stigma. And so she was kind of worried for him, but he didn't seem to mind. And again, because he's from America, of course he wouldn't mind. The thing is, though, they've professed their love for each other. They've started dating. It's very cute and very sweet, but it's the end of the series. And again, like every freaking series, you have to have a breakup, which I don't understand. Honestly, we need to get out of this trope. I really wish this cliche would end, just like the White Truck of Doom and the other K-drama cliches that they've kind of done away with now. I really wish this was a cliche that did away with, because it's unnecessary sometimes, and this is one of those where it was unnecessary. You had just started this love story. She just finally accepted him and let him in. Why would you now, as soon as everything just gets started, break him up because he has to go somewhere for a year, and then that year ends up turning into 3 or 4 years? Who in the right mind waits 4 years for a person? That doesn't happen in real life. It doesn't happen. You didn't need the whole breakup thing. He could have still lived in the small town and worked out of Seoul. People do it in real life all the time. The mystery before Kim Do-hyun's mother. I totally saw from a mile away that Oh Kung-hui was going to be his mom. I thought that was so sweet and so nice. Anyway, that is my take on A Virtuous Business. I gave it a 95%, and I think I'm going to keep that 95%, even with the ending being as annoying as it was. And then I'm going to give The Direction a 4 out of 5, because it was a good drama. Let me know what you thought about this drama, because this was a drama I didn't see coming. So the next drama I'm going to talk about is Brewing Love. This is one I've kind of started recently. I know it's not a new drama. It's kind of closing up. In fact, I think it might have closed up last week. I've got some problems with the drama. Brewing Love is one of those dramas that I like but dislike at the same time. Like, there's a lot of stuff written in the storyline that I disliked quite a bit. One of those things being the story of the main character, Yoon Min-ju. He's supposed to be an empathetic guy, so much so that he kind of locks himself up from the rest of the world because he absorbs the emotions from the people around him. And as somebody who is an empathetic person, empathy is not a superpower, and they make it seem like it's a superpower. It's not. You empathize with somebody with you. You can empathize with their story, but you don't absorb their emotions and make them yours. So whoever wrote this drama, at least for as an empathetic person, honestly doesn't understand what empathy is. In my opinion, they don't understand what empathy is, because it's not what you wrote. It's not a superpower. You don't absorb the emotions of the people around you and wonder if those emotions are yours or not. Like, if you wanted to do that, you could have just made this a fantasy drama and had him actually absorb the emotions of the people around him. You could have still made him an empathetic person without the excessiveness that you wrote it with. But that's a problem with the writing, not with the acting or the directing. And I even wrote in my sticky notes, someone didn't know what they were writing about, because they didn't. I didn't also like one of the main actresses, Bang Ah-eum. Bang Ah-eum is annoying, and she's, I think toward the end, they're kind of trying to build up her 3D persona and make her a little less 2D, but I didn't like her at the beginning, and I kind of didn't like her toward the end either, because I called her the itch who says she's looking for the perfect man. Like, I'm sorry, are you the perfect woman? And again, this is another thing on the writing. It's not the acting, it's not the directing, it's the writing. You're looking for the perfect man? I'm sorry, ain't gonna happen. There ain't no such thing as a perfect man, unless you're thinking of Jesus, and Jesus isn't gonna wanna marry you. But that's another problem for another day, and I'm pretty sure you don't wanna be a nun. That's the only instance that I know of that you can actually marry a perfect man. That being said, who says that the perfect man, quote unquote, is going to want to marry you? Are you saying you're a perfect woman? Because ain't no perfect man going to want to marry an imperfect woman. Plus, if you are a perfect woman, that's going to be extremely boring. She does have a kind of redemption arc a little bit, as she falls in love for a poor guy who runs a food truck and also works at a brewery and is tied to the main character, Che Yong-ju. I couldn't get on board with this character. I didn't like her. I don't like her. So yeah, not my favorite. Again, though, that's the problem for a writer, not the actress herself. She did good with what she had. My question was, and I have this in my notes, is this written by a man? Because it seems like it's written by the men. The female characters seem to be written by a man, in the sense that they don't seem very well fleshed out, the female characters. Exhibit A is Bang Ah-eum. Another thing that I found very odd is the unapologetic adoration or even propaganda for beer. And I do mean unapologetic. I was watching this with my sister, actually, and I looked at her and I said, you know, this is basically just one huge propaganda for beer. I mean, I know Koreans like their beer, But I didn't think you'd write an entire drama about beer. Now, the main character, Choi Yong-ju, who's played by Kim Se-jong, she's interesting. I've seen this actress play a lot of more masculine females, which is, I'm not complaining about. I quite like it, and I liked what she brought to the role as well. I like how the character was initially written. Now, that being said, when she starts her romance with Yoon Min-ju, it's weird. She changes a lot. Not saying it's a bad thing, but it's kind of annoying. She loses all of that self-confidence that I really liked about her in the beginning. Now, I know that actually can happen in real life. I am exhibit A for that. Life can throw a curveball at you, and sometimes when you catch feelings, you become a little bit insecure. And I totally know what that's like, but I don't know. It's just, I guess I didn't like it because it represents me. I did like the love story between the pretty Chinese lady and the Korean guy, the older Korean Najushi. That was an interesting take. Who says that a beautiful woman can't end up with somebody that society would not consider to be beautiful? If she likes him, she likes him. That's her prerogative, not yours. Anyway, that is my take on Brewing Love. It's not one of my favorites. I have seen online that the writing or the storyline was not very good, and I'm inclined to agree. The story was not that great. The acting was okay. The acting was much better than the story. I did not like the way this was written, and for that reason I did actually give this drama an 80. It's still watchable. If you ever are in a slump and you need something to watch, it's watchable, which is why I said 80. It's not a superb drama. It's not going to open your eyes and make you think. It's not going to make you obsess over it. It's just something to watch when you're bored. Rewatch quality is very low. Now, that being said, A Virtuous Business, the one I mentioned earlier, is definitely going to be a rewatch for me because I enjoyed that drama immensely. Just maybe skip the end. That brings me into my latest obsession. I love this drama. I mean, I'm obsessed over it, so much so that last week I woke up super excited on a Saturday because it releases on Netflix Friday and Saturday. I got so excited. I'm going to watch my drama today. And my sister's like, you can't, because they canceled the broadcast. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, because of the protests, they canceled the broadcast. And I was like, wah, wah, wah. Now, in solidarity, I do respect Netflix for canceling the broadcast for the protests that were happening in South Korea. Congratulations, South Korea. If you're listening, I'm totally there with you. My heart was there with you. Honestly, if I was there, I probably would have paid for your coffee too. So for those of you who don't know, the people that couldn't be present in the protest, who had to go to work or were outside of the city or, you know, for whatever reason, they actually paid in to the local cafes for food and for coffee for those who were protesting to kind of show their support. I'm pretty sure if you like Korean content, you probably already know why they were trying to get their president impeached. But if you don't, they enacted martial law, which the last time Korea was under martial law was in the 1980s with Chun Doo-hwan. And Chun Doo-hwan made a big mess of things, so much so that the Gwangju massacre actually happened. And ironically, this president used the same excuse as Chun Doo-hwan. So he deserved to be impeached. I have no sympathy. You deserved what you got, sir. That being said, when the phone rings, I know that was such a long, drawn out thing. I'm sorry. When the phone rings, it got postponed last week because of the protests, and I'm there for it. I was a little disappointed, not gonna lie though, because I was very excited to see my drama. The drama is surprising me so far, and I'm very glad that they're bringing out the secret ahead of time. They're not dragging the secret out like they did with Miss Night and Day. Miss Night and Day dragged out her secret from the male lead way too freaking long. If she had just told him, like, at least halfway through the series, hey, there's something wrong with me, I keep turning into an ajumma during the days. So, you know, this is my true self. I am young. I am beautiful. But I have a problem. I keep turning into an ajumma and I need help. Or, you know, just give him a heads up, you know? And thankfully, When the Phone Rings doesn't do that. They pulled out the secret halfway through the show, which I appreciate, because then the second half of the show, you could focus on something else. So basically what happens is she is blackmailing him to divorce her. Now, Or she asks for $2,000. He doesn't do either. He doesn't want to give her $2,000 and he doesn't want to divorce her either. Now, he doesn't know that his wife is actually trying to divorce him and that she's actually the blackmailer because she's doing it over the phone. Now, one thing I find very interesting, though, is the initial call that he gets from area code 406. The guy has a clear stutter, and I find it interesting that he doesn't notice that there's a lack of a stutter afterward. You know, drama dynamics. Suspension of belief, whatever. Then again, this is supposed to be a guy that is supposed to be really good at his job and picking up on vocabulary and like vocabulary patterns and inflections and things like that, because he's supposed to be a hostage communicator. I don't know. He does something for the president that deals with hostages and blackmailing. It's just interesting that he doesn't recognize that there's no stutter. I really liked how at the beginning of the series, and this is the very first scene, Hey Media was called out for spreading fake news. This is what goes to show you how angry the Korean entertainment industry is at their media and their spreading of half-truths or flat-out lies. So their yellow journalism is strong. The Korean entertainment industry is just, it's done with the yellow journalism. And I don't blame them. I just find it so interesting that they just addressed that flat out and openly told them that you are fake news at the beginning of the drama. The female lead is pretty strong, and I really like that she ends up being the blackmailer. I like that she's not docile. She is a rebel. She's a strong woman. She is not ready to be put down by anyone aside from her mother. Now, I can understand that. Mothers can be an imposing figure in your lives. And so I can understand it. It's a little frustrating knowing how strong she is, but at least she's not like that toward the main lead. I like the whole noir energy. This is a detective story. This is noir at its best. Noir at its core. You know, it's a thriller. It's a mystery, much less of a thriller on this case, but it's a mystery. That's what noir is. It's a detective story. And so I'm really enjoying this noir. Anyway, that is all I'm going to be saying on When the Phone Rings. If you're interested to see what my full thoughts are, I am going to have a written down version on my webpage, dramaticscorner.com. So go ahead and find me there. Please, please, please let me know what you guys think of these dramas. I would be very happy to have a conversation with you guys. So let me know what you guys think on all three of these. And that being said, thank you for listening. Goodbye, and until next time.